Well, it has been good to be here today, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
I feel like, I don't know, a lot of years ago, that verse in the 27th chapter of Psalms that said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." I feel like the Lord made that verse real to me. I don't remember if I was a teenager, not too long after that. And it has been such a wonderful, precious verse. And then the verse that was quoted this morning, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord."
Yes, wonderful.
It's been good to be here today.
Thank the Lord.
Lord.
I'd like to start in the book of Jude, in the first verse. It says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." I want you to know this morning that my heart's desire is that mercy and peace and love be multiplied and extended to everyone that's here.
Amen.
I love you each one, and I know that the Lord loves each of you that are here. And He paid a great price on the cross that we might be able to be saved, and that grace and peace and love would be multiplied and extended to us, that we might be able to meet our Lord in peace. And there is nothing that is going to be worth more than to be at peace with our Lord. And I was thinking this morning of the verse where Paul talked about, he said it is our reasonable service to serve the Lord. Why? When we were yet with sin, and when we were unlovable, Christ died for us that we could be saved, and that He could give us life, and that He could give us abundant life, and that we would have that part of us that Brother Edgar talked about this morning that yearns for fulfillment, that yearns to be satisfied, that seeking something. The Lord has the answer to that. He has it for everyone that is here today. He knows your name. He's called us out. He knows where you stand. He knows what you're in need of. He knows what you've been through. And He knew that you don't have what it takes in yourself to reach the place that you want to be and that you need to be. And so Jesus said, "I'll go. I'll go give my life. I'll go pay the price on the cross. I'm willing to go and have the nails driven in my hands. I'm willing to feel the lash of the whip against my back. I'm willing to be misunderstood. I'm willing to be mocked and scorned. I'm willing to die a death on the cross, because I know what you stand in need of, and I'm willing to give it to you if you will." And so Paul said, it's your reasonable service. It's our reasonable service. And the Lord wants His love and His peace to be multiplied to us. A peace that passeth all understanding.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful today. I'm so thankful that God called my name. I'm thankful that He called your name. And I'm thankful that we could come to service today and fill the fellowship of the Lord and His Spirit. And to be able to be with God's people. And I don't know how far I can go with this, so I won't try to go too far. But I want you to know, you older ones that persevere and you come out, thank you.
Yes.
And Jonathan and Cindy, thank you for being here. And I know that, you know, you have a heavy week. And you work all night, and you work day in and day out, and you come, and it's an encouragement to us. And we want to be an encouragement to you. And God wants to fill us with His Spirit. And there's a reason we come. It's because it's worth it.
Yes, amen.
It's worth it. We have reason to earnestly contend for this. Because it's life. And there's a spirit that is trying to subvert us in our cause. And so Jude came and he said that he exhorted us that we should earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. He didn't just say, contend for the faith. He said, earnestly contend for the faith, because it's going to mean something. If our lives are in the balance, young people, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. He said there, give the more earnest heed. And Jude said, earnestly contend. What did he mean by that? Don't just contend. We contend for all kinds of things in life. We're all contending for things. We're contending to make a living. We're contending to try to find fulfillment in life. We're contending to get through each day. We're contending to keep our health. We're contending to prepare for what's ahead of us in this life, for temporal things, for material things. We all contend for things. But the Scriptures exhort us to earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. Give your life for it. Give something more than just the day-to-day contention that we give. What does it mean to contend? It means to struggle in rivalry. To struggle in rivalry. And make no mistake this morning, we have a rival. There is a spirit that's real. Don't ever think that this is just a mind thing, and that there is not a spirit who knows your name too. There is a real spirit of the world that is working to get us away from the cause of Christ. And so we are exhorted to earnestly contend against that rivalry that is working against us. To engage. And what does earnestly mean? Serious and diligent, emotionally intense, solemn, to seriously, diligently, solemnly, intensely contend for the faith. Why? Because the spirit of the world is contending earnestly for your soul. And folks, saints, young people, This life is just a vapor that appears for a little time and it vanishes away. Colin and Reagan and Carissa, y'all are in college now. And Andrew and Kyle, you're not far from it. And it seems like, I remember when I was that age, and it's not wrong to think this, but I remember it just seemed like everything was ahead of me, and it seemed like there was so much time, and it seemed like there was so much opportunity for all kinds of things. And I want to tell you this morning, I want to tell you that this life is but a vapor, and while we are instructed to prepare for the future, and the Lord is pleased with us making preparation for the future. And we're Solomon, and all through the Bible, I believe that the Lord doesn't just want us to go hole up somewhere and we're in the world and we have duties and we have responsibilities, and it's okay and it's good and it's needful to make preparation in this life and be diligent in your schooling. I believe the Lord's pleased with that. But remember there's something bigger than this life. There's something bigger than this world. This life is going to pass, and soon we're going to be in a place where this world, most of it, is behind us. And we don't know when that time is. It can be when we're young. And so above everything else, Jude said, listen, I exhort you. I teach you. I want to put before you, listen to me, that you earnestly contend for the faith that was given to you.
Passionately.
Give it your all. That's why Paul said in the verse that we brought up earlier a few minutes ago, he said, take the more earnest heed to the things which you heard. Why? Because lest at any time you should let them slip. Because you have all kinds of competing things that are trying to steal away the truth that has been given to you. Those that Jonathan mentioned this morning, those that were his anchors, those older ones that he looked to, the enemy is trying to get Jonathan and Cindy and me and Kathy and all of us, everything he can do to try to get us to forget the things that we've heard and to miss out on what the Lord brought us. And so Paul said, give the more earnest heed to the things which you heard, lest at any time you should let them slip, because if the words that were spoken by angels were true, and they are, the things that godly parents and ministers and teachers and the Holy Spirit of God has taught us, if they're true, and they are true, and if every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we, who've been exposed to this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Everyone that is here this morning has been blessed above measure. We have been given talents that many in the world have not been blessed to have. Talents of truth. Talents of knowledge of the gospel. It's a talent. God is looking for a return on that. And the enemy is doing everything he can to come and steal away your talent of the knowledge of the gospel of the truth, or to bury it, and to take it in what's been given to you and say, yeah, I know I have it, and bury it, and don't do anything with it. And Jude said, I exhort you. And this morning in the fear of the Lord, I exhort you. That you would earnestly contend for the faith. That you would give your hearts and your lives to it. And young people, when you make decisions, decisions that will affect the whole rest of your life and that affect other people's lives that are before you and that are with you and that will come after you, your children and your grandchildren, ask yourself, what road am I going down and where will it lead? Where does it go? If I take this, what can be the end of it for those that will take the baton that I pass to them and continue down the road that I've started? We can say so often, well, I don't see what's wrong with this, and I think this ought to be okay. Maybe you can get by with it in your time. But when you pass the baton to somebody else that takes it on down the road, where is it going to lead? Where does it go? We have a responsibility for ourselves and for those around us and for our children and for our grandchildren. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? The Lord gave me a message a few weeks ago in the Ranger of, arise, it's our turn. It's your turn. Those folks that you mentioned, many of them are gone. They're not here anymore. But it's our turn now. It's your turn. It's my turn.
Amen. That's right.
The Lord told Joshua, get up, arise. Moses, he's gone, he's dead. But it's your turn now. You get up, you take them on. I have a land before you. You lead them into the Canaan land now. It's your turn. And it's your turn now. And it's my turn. And Jude told us now, I exhort you that you earnestly contend. Are you earnestly contending? Or do we allow the things of this world and our interests and our self-interest and all that pulls on us and all that seems so important, are we allowing it to capture our attention and occupy all of our thoughts and we fill our plate so full with all these things that, and some of them aren't sin and of themselves, but we fill our lives so full of all this other stuff that we push the greatest cause that we have off of the plate and we do ourselves a disservice and other people and those that will come after us. I want to leave something to my children. Whether they agree with it now or not, I want to leave something to them that they can turn back to.
Amen.
I want to leave something to those that I influence and I'm around. And I want to tell you something. I need you to leave something to me too. I depend on you. I need from my children. I feed off the fruit of my children, those that are younger than I am, and those that are older. We need each other. There's a reason why the Scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Another place He said, every man will bear his own burden. Well, how do those two go together? I'm going to have to stand for God on my own. And I'm going to have to give an account on my own. And He's going to come back for individuals and not big collections of people and say, how did y'all overall do? It's going to be an individual thing. But I want to tell you that the Lord also said, but bear one another's burdens. We need each other. God has put us in places to help each other. And if I earnestly contend for the faith, I can help you. And you can help me. And it's going to be worth everything. Folks, it's worth fighting for. It's worth contending for.
Amen.
It's worth sacrificing some things for. It's worth giving some things up for. Why?
Amen.
Why do we, and I include myself, Why do we struggle so much sometimes with some things that are, that if we could just get up and get a higher view of the relative importance of what we hold on to so strongly that hinders us in our peace with God, that if we could see it more clearly, I think sometimes we would let go of it like a hot iron in our hand, when we would realize it's holding us back. It keeps us from earnestly contending. We're human beings, and naturally it seems like we try our level best to partake of everything we want to in the flesh, everything that we can get by with, and still feel like somehow the Lord in His love is going to accept us. But I fear that it won't work that way. Because the Bible tells us that if we come after God, we must deny ourselves and we must take up our cross daily to follow Him. We have to be willing to be buried as a seed in the ground and die and give ourselves up to let the Lord fertilize us with His Spirit so that we can grow into something more beautiful. And as long as we hang on to our seed state, we'll stay in the seed state. And we'll live and die as a seed. And we'll bear the consequences of living that way and not allowing the Lord to help us die out to ourselves and what I want and what I'm attracted to and the things that I would naturally gravitate toward. The Lord saying, please, please put your life in my hands. Please be willing to die out and earnestly contend for what I have to offer you. Because if you will, you can bear much fruit. I'll satisfy the longing of your heart. I don't want to become at ease in Zion. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. The enemy is working to get us to be at ease in Zion. We can begin to have a false sense of security with the truth that you know and the knowledge that you have. And we can go home out of here today and say, well, it was good to have been there and we're sure thankful for the word of the truth. And yet, we don't give ourselves wholly and completely to it. And we don't turn ourselves over to the Lord. And we don't allow Him to come in and begin to bring about a change. Because we go ahead and carry our nets with us. I believe it was here that the Lord first gave me that message of when He told His disciples to follow Me. And they left their nets and they followed Him. And why do we carry our nets around with us all the time? Why are we so tempted to do that? I know why we are, because we're human and we're in the flesh. But when we carry around our nets and those things that we want to serve God and we want to follow Him, but we still want to carry along those things that we're accustomed to and what our comfort level is in and what's me and what I've been brought up in and what I feel like is my tendency. And the Lord's saying, let it go. It's going to gather trash. It's going to hinder your journey. It's going to get caught on things. Let them go and follow Me. That's what is required to earnestly contend. We're going to have to earnestly contend if we want to be holy before the Lord. The Scripture says, but without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. How can I be holy before the Lord if I don't give myself wholly and completely to God and His service? How can I? It's going to take us being willing to earnestly contend for it, to give our all, to build our lives on a strong foundation, not the shifting sand. People all around us, you see them, they base their lives on, it seems like their measuring stick is the measurement of the world and how the world thinks about things and how the world views things. And we can find ourselves with a false sense of security when we push against the world. But if we don't push hard enough to go upstream, did you know you can push against current and still go downstream? You know that? You can swim up current And I mean, give it your all. But if you're not swimming with a strength that overcomes the current, you will be swept downstream. And sometimes the enemy is he's fine with us being happy to push against the current of the world. Because we can go home and say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, I'm not living there, and I'm pushing. But I want to tell you something. If we're not measuring to the standard of the gospel, of the Word of God, if we don't have His Spirit living in us, and His laws are not written on our hearts, and His power of His Spirit is not with us to help us live according to the holiness and the righteousness that the Lord brought, we're fooling ourselves. We can push to a point, but we will continue to be carried downstream, and I don't want that to happen. We can contend against it and be lost. It is going to take an earnest contention on our part. I can't earn my way in. I know that. And God is the one, Jesus is the one that paid the price. I can't do enough. He's not looking to see if I just fatigue myself to the point of almost failure to say, well done, my child, you earned your way in. That's not how it works. I will only get in by His mercy and His blood. But I also know this. We are told and we are exhorted and we are taught throughout the Bible and the Gospel. It is going to take us giving our all. It's not enough to get in. The Lord made provision for that big gap. But He expects us to give our all. That's my responsibility, to give my all. I have to be willing to do that. I have to be willing to take some stands that put me at variance with the world. I have to be willing to live a life that is at variance with what my flesh would be drawn to. It's going to take that kind of earnest contention to make it in. We're going to have to run to win, not just run. Sometimes we just run. We have to run to win. What was it that Paul said? I want to get that quickly in 1 Corinthians, the ninth chapter, 1 Corinthians 9. There's much that could be said about this, and we won't this morning, but listen to what he says. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. He's saying just like if you're in a race, there's only one first place winner. And everybody's running to win. Not everybody is going to get a first place trophy. And so if you want to win, you've got to give everything. Because just one person's going to win. And Paul said, you run like that. You run like that. Run like you can't give enough because there's only one person that's going to receive the prize. You run like that. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. People in the world today give great sacrifice and give up things for temperate crowns. Saints, we're in a battle for our souls. Eternity is at stake. And so Paul's saying, you run, if they run like that, you run like that. Earnestly contend for the prize. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. Lest by any means what I have preached to others, I myself may be a castaway. What is he talking about? Subject to what? I bring my body under subjection? Folks, be willing to bring your body under subjection and give yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Be willing to open up the doors of your heart and clean house and let Him come in and take His abode in your heart and your life, that you may have the strength and the power and the understanding and a spiritual vision that will enable us to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what it's going to take. Are we there? Are you there this morning? It gives me pause because the stakes are so high. Eternity is a long time. And it comes at a time that is not of my choosing. And I don't have the luxury of knowing when it's going to come. But neither do you. Many, many times the people that we thought would go first are not the ones that go first. A lot of times it's somebody else. A lot of times it's the younger one, somebody that you never expected. I don't know when my time is. But I want to say this, it's worth earnestly contending because my soul's at stake. And the Lord has the answer for us. He has the answer for you. He knows what you desire and what you want and what you need. And until we let Him come in, our spiritual vision is dimmed and we walk in darkness and we think that it's light. And we think we see things clearly. And we view things as a man views them. But if we don't have the Spirit of God in our lives, we're not going to view it as the Spirit would view it. And so Jude instructs us to earnestly contend. Earnestly contend. This morning, don't give up. Don't let up. Give it your all. Jude ended, and he said in the 20th verse, he said, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Earnestly contend to be built up in the faith. Earnestly contend to be filled with the Spirit of God. We won't make it if we don't. We're going to miss it if we don't do that. We have a Spirit that is working to blind our eyes, to subvert our cause, to get us to be so intoxicated and overcharged with all of the things of this life that day comes upon us unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." The exhortation this morning is earnestly contend. Don't underestimate the need to do that. It's something you would expect to hear in church service, right? To hear it taught, we need to earnestly contend. It's not idle words. It's required. It's necessary. Brother Clifford Wilson used to say over and over, and he'd say, the only way we're going to make it is if we want it worse than anything else in life. Do you want it worse than anything else in life? It's really easy to say, well, yes, I do. Yeah, I want it worse than anything else. And yet we continue to live and allow things in our lives that hinder us, which begins to tell the Lord that we don't want it worse than anything else. We're willing to risk some things. Be willing to lay things down. Be willing to give yourself wholly and completely to the Lord. Take the more earnest heed. You say, well, I'm taking heed to what's been taught. Or you might take it a step further and say, well, I'm taking earnest heed to what's been taught. The Scripture says, take the more earnest heed to the things that ye have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And I am convinced of this morning. If we'll do that, if you'll say, Lord, here am I. I'm human. I'm needy. I don't have it in myself. I want to serve you. And we begin to apply ourselves to understand And we invite the Spirit of the Lord to come in. And we begin to earnestly contend. The Lord said, "Whosoever shall call upon me will be saved." He is going to look for those that give Him their whole heart and mind and soul and body and strength, and He won't turn us away. Be encouraged with that today. You earnestly contend, you give it your all, He'll do His part. And we can have a testimony like Paul. He said, "The time of my departure is at hand. And I fought a good fight. And I finished the course. And I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but to all of them that love is appearing." I want to be in that number.
Yes, amen.
Help me be in that number as I endeavor to help you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all this morning. Amen.
Amen.